Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited, hosted by Kotak Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited. To discuss the 4Q FY23 performance of Chola, share industry and business updates, we have the senior management with us. The senior management is represented by Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Ravindra Kundu, Executive Director, and Mr. Arul Selvan, President and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Vellayan for his opening comments, after which we can take Q&A.
Thank you, Nischint, and good morning, everybody, and welcome to the call. You know, we're pleased to report results for the quarter and for the year. Disbursements were at 21,020 for the quarter, up by 65%, and 66,532 for the year, up by 87% year-on-year. The total AUM stood at 112,782 crores, which is up by 36% year-on-year, and the net income margin is up at 2,060 crores for the quarter, up 32% year-on-year, and 7,229 crores for the year, up 24% year-on-year. The PBT for the quarter is at 1,159 crores, which is up by 25%, and 3,600 crores for the year, which is also up by 25%. The Chola delivered the best ever disbursements, collections, and profitability in Q4. We have gained market share across the product segments in vehicle finance and other business units. The overall passenger vehicle industry sales in FY23 rose to 38.89 lakh units, an increase of 27%. LAP and SME also witnessed strong growth in the current fiscal on the back of lower growth during the pandemic, and amidst a revival in demand from smaller businesses. Leveraging the industry growth, Chola has improved market share across product segments. The retail AUM of NBFCs is expected to grow at a healthy 12%-14% in FY24, after a strong rebound in 2023. In terms of performance highlights, aggregate disbursements in FY24, we just talked about, were at 21,020 crores, which is a growth of 65%. Vehicle finance disbursements was at 12,190 crores in the quarter, as against 8,785. That's a growth of 39%. And disbursements for the year were at 39,699, which is a growth of 56% year-on-year. LAP disbursed 2,762 in the quarter, as against 1,870 in the quarter for FY22, which is a growth of 48%. And for the year, it was at 9,000. Disbursements were at 9,299 crores, which is a growth of 68% year-on-year. Home loan, and that includes both affordable home loan and affordable LAP in addition, disbursed 1,405 crores for the quarter, as against 549, which is a growth of 156%. And for the year, they disbursed 3,830 crores, which is a growth of 102%. The SME business disbursed 2,104 crores for the quarter. That's a growth of 127%. And for the year, the growth was, the disbursement was 6,388 crores, which is a growth of 232%. Consumer and small enterprise business disbursed 2,364 crores for the quarter and 6,865 crores for the year. And secured business and personal loans disbursed 196 crores for the quarter, 451 crores for the year. Total AUM stood at 112,000, which is a growth, 782, which is a growth of 36%. So the encouraging news, as you can see, is that we've grown across businesses. So vehicle finance growth has then been bolstered by growth in loan against property, home loans, SME, CSEL, and SPPL. So that's very encouraging to see the secular growth across all of our business lines. And that's actually contributed to what we believe will be a reduction in cyclicality over time. The PBT ROA for the quarter was at 4.4%, and for the year it was at 3.8%. ROE was at 20.6%, as against 20.4% in the previous year. The company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 5,042 crores as cash balance at the end of March, including 1,500 crores invested in GSEC and 1,600 crores invested in T-bills, which are shown under investments, and a total liquidity position of 9,119 crores, which includes undrawn sanction lines. The ALM position is comfortable with no cumulative negative mismatches across any time bucket. The consolidated profit before tax for the quarter was 1,163 as against 927 in the previous quarter, year, same quarter, and for the year, 3,615 as against 2,902. The board has recommended a final dividend of 70 paise per share on the equity shares of the company, subject to the approval of the members of the company at the ensuing annual general meeting. This is in addition to the interim dividend of 1 rupee 30 paise per share, which was declared, on 31st January 2023. In terms of asset quality, our stage 3 levels have improved from 3.51% in December 2022 to 3.01% on March 2023, at the end of March 23. GNPA as per RBI norms has come down from 4.6, come down to 4.63 in March, as against 5.37 in December. And NNPA as per RBI norms has come to 3.11 as against 3.76 in December. in terms of capital adequacy, as of March 31st, we were at 17.13% against the regulatory requirement of 15%, and Tier 1 was at 14.78%, which then implies that Tier 2 was at 2.35%. We also successfully initiated our maiden public NCD issue of secured rated redeemable NCDs. The prospectus was filed in Q4, amounting to 1,000 crores, and it was oversubscribed by 2.6 times within the first 3 days of issue. And so with that, I'll bring to a conclusion kind of our opening commentary. Nishant, we'll be happy to turn it over to you for Q&A.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Suresh Ganapathy from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. It's Velay and Nangin. These are, of course, good numbers. I mean, when everybody is talking about slowdown and consumption-related issues and stuff, where are you getting this growth from, and how do you think this is going to be sustainable, say, heading into FY24 when you have already a lakh crore kind of an AUM base? That's my first question, Nadine.
Yeah, so Suresh, thanks. I think broadly what we have to look at is in no segment do we have, you know, a significantly large market share. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, if you notice, most of our growth and most of our expansion is coming from Tier 3, Tier 4 cities. So all of the businesses are going deeper into Tier 3, Tier 4 cities and geographies that, you know, we don't see have as deep financial service penetration as Tier 1 and Tier 2. So I think a combination of that, I mean, the fact that, you know, first of all, Suresh, like you can see, one of the reasons of driving the growth is, and that it's not just vehicle finance anymore. It is, you know, six businesses, all that are growing, right? And that secular growth across the six businesses is what's helping, you know, bolster the overall CAGR levels, right? So it used to be kind of predominantly we were seen as a vehicle finance shop. I think that image of Chola will begin to change, and is already beginning to change kind of as we observe it in the market.
So you're still arguing on the under-penetration of financial services in each of these markets, and you are saying organically you still see on the ground a lot of demand. Is that the right interpretation? I mean,
yeah, Suresh, and like I said, I mean, previously when we had growth numbers, it was predominantly driven by vehicle, right? Now you can see how much the other businesses are also supporting that growth. So it is moving from one product to now six products. Right?
Okay. Another two quick questions. Can you assure us that there is absolutely no adverse selection of assets when growth is happening in such breakneck speed? Because just some of the newer segments, are you uber confident that is not something which is compromised when you're chasing growth at this stage, and especially when you are penetrating into some of these unknown tier 3, tier 4 centers?
So, Suresh, again, just you know, right, you know, all of these tier 3, tier 4 centers are centers that we have been present in with vehicle finance. So they're not new geographies to us, right? The second thing is, I think you know the philosophy of the company. We always tend to be more collections-led in everything we do. So even for the new businesses, the first thing we did was build out that collections infrastructure. And that continues to be, you know, I would say central to the DNA of the way we think in Chola, that, you know, it's first collections, then underwriting, then sales. Now, given that, we do see significant opportunity in these new businesses. But, you know, definitely, you know, the thing in all of our internal reviews, kind of the focus continues to be predominantly in that sequence on collections, then underwriting, then sales.
Okay. And final question is on capital. What is your plan? You are already at tapering around that 15% levels, right? TAR. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're at 17 predominantly because we have not used a lot of tier 2. I think it's a fair ask that we will kind of, I mean, we will obviously, it's something that, again, we tend to be conservative on. So it is something that we will kind of review in this upcoming financial year.
You will decide tier 2 or equity capital you will review?
No, that's what I said. I mean, obviously, yes, we will review equity capital and its requirements in the next financial year, in the current financial year.
Okay. Thanks, Vinay. All the best.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We have our next question from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on yet another good quarter. Just two questions from mine. First is, let's say 2 years out, how should we look at the overall AUM mix according to you? How will it look like? And are we looking at introducing any other new products, if at all?
I think we will be, I would say that the vehicle finance should be in the range of around 50% levels, and the loan against property and the home loan should be in the range of around 30-35%, and the new businesses should be in the range of around 15%. This is what we would try to, you know, work on.
Understood. And the second question is on the yield part. So let's say if this is how the mix looks like, probably there is still a little bit of room for yields to expand from here on, assuming that some of the newer businesses are relatively into the higher yield category. Will that be a fair assumption, or the current margin profile is something which is more or less sort of a stable margin profile that you would like to hold on to?
So, see, I think the better way to look at it is that, you know, we want to focus on keeping NIMs kind of at least current levels, right? So, because always yield and expansion are then kind of tempered with, you know, compression, you know, either due to kind of a competitive intensity or due to, you know, kind of usually what we've seen is rising interest rate cycles do kind of put, increase the level of competitive intensity and therefore reduce the spread. So, you know, our attempt will be and our kind of focus will be to keep the NIM levels at least constant, which we believe at this stage, you know, should be achievable.
Perfect. Thank you so much and good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Aman.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shalini Vasanta from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Kunal from DSP Mutual Fund. So my question is again related to that capital raise only, although you answered that. So my question is, if you look at your debt to equity ratio, it's currently at around 6.81 times. So what is the level you are comfortable with? And at what levels basically you would seriously consider raising capital? Yeah, that was it, my first.
Sure. Yeah, so again, right, I mean, our steer has always been that we strive to keep capital adequacy at about 18%. Now, one of the reasons we've dropped is because we are using much less tier 2 than we've traditionally used. So we will do both, right? I think Suresh's specific question was on equity. So we will do both to push that number up. We will basically look at equity in this financial year, but we'll also look at, you know, pushing back tier 2 again, which will be a combination of our PDI and sub as well. So I think that gives you an answer to the overall question, which is that 18% number is usually what we strive to hold over the cycle.
Sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bhavesh Kanani from ASK. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations for great set of numbers. With this great set of numbers also comes a challenge of sustaining them in next year and thereafter. And given the adverse trends on cost of fund and potential upward normalization of credit cost, how do you plan to sustain what has been delivered in this fiscal? And that's my first question. And second is related to OPEX, where Q4 OPEX sequential growth is appearing out of sync with the kind of business volumes we have done. So if you can help us break up the OPEX for full year, as in how much of it was targeted towards new lines and may not be repeated incrementally, and some sense of how OPEX can pan out in next 1 or 2 years.
You answer the question on OPEX.
Yeah, Mr. Manish, the OPEX is in the range of around 3% to average assets, and this is a number which we, you know, sort of work with and, you know, sort of indicated over the cycles also. I think we will keep it in the range of the 3.1% level on average assets. So that's the number we will work with, and I think we are confident of holding it there.
To your question on, you know, sustainability, right, I think the, you know, the way we have to look at it is this, right, which, I mean, it's, I answered part of that question with what Suresh asked, which is, you know, we definitely see, you know, vehicle finance, you know, we continue to be very strong and continue to grow, but the new segments are also beginning to kick in and deliver significantly to bolster the vehicle finance growth. And so I think a combination of those two is basically what's going to allow us to continue to deliver, you know, these numbers. And, you know, we feel, and obviously we have to see kind of if rates continue to go up, but if we don't see too much more of an increase on the rate front, then we do feel that, you know, we should be able to maintain, you know, NIM as well. So that is what we will strive to. Could there be a little bit of NIM compression? It is possible, right? But it's not something that we can rule out. But what we will work towards is that. And obviously, kind of the other part of the solution from our perspective is to continue to see what we can do to improve the quality of the book, which the teams have done a great job on and continue to do a great job on, but there's still headroom for improvement on that front as well.
Wonderful. All the best.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Sadeep Singh from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Parag here. Am I audible?
Hi, Parag. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. See, my question is more so from the liability side. Now we are 1 lakh crore book. How important do you think is to have more diversified source of funding? And I think you have done one public NCD, but at least one part of the sourcing could be deposits as well. It gives you a lot of diversity in that sense. So any plans there, and how difficult or easy it's to convert ourselves into deposit taking NBFCs? Because as we grow more and more, I think, we become more and more systematically important NBFCs.
Accepted, but RBI has stopped giving deposit accepting licenses. And today, the trend of investing public is to move towards more dematted and more, liquid assets like the public, the debt market, and that's what we are trying to tap into. And I think the overwhelming success that we saw in the first issue, I think we should scale up the issue, and we will do that in the days to come. And I think by the end of this year, we are targeting to have at least 5 to 10% of the borrowing coming from this. Apart from this, the way to look at other funding sources are to look overseas. We are also initiating action towards that, and we will work towards that, subject to the total overall hedged cost being, competitive to participate there.
But probably, I do think that given, our relationship with both the banking segments and kind of money market, we do feel fairly confident about our ability to raise at these levels and for the foreseeable future.
Right? Priority sector.
And with the priority sector asset generation, it continues to be significant demand for that, which we tap into through both securitization and kind of direct lending.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Mirai Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Congratulations to the team for a great quarter. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, if I just look at the cost of funds, alluding to the margin point that you made, the cost of funds for Chola is roughly 100 basis point lower than the FY 19-20 levels. If I look at the headline rates, repo or GSEC or the bank MCLRs, almost all of them are near to that FY19, FY20 levels. So in your opinion, based on your sort of liability mix, how much of this 100 basis point gap will you be able to sustain over the next 12 months? So that was one on liabilities, and maybe I'll ask one more later.
So like what we spoke in earlier, point, we are doing renegotiation with the banks as well as capitalizing on the priority sector asset demand. So by these factors, they have been keeping the cost lower. And I feel that we should be able to be in line with the numbers you have quoted, and we are confident to hold it there. So if you recall, we have committed that this year we will not, will not see an increase beyond 30-40 basis points, and that's the way we are as compared to full year of the cost of funds compared to last year. I think next year you will see similar levels of increase, but that should be compensated by the yield increases that the teams have brought in play, both on the LAP and HL, and in the way to finance on the new book.
Understood. And my second question is with respect to the new book, the new businesses that we've done. I mean, stellar performance there. If I look at the disbursement, they are well ahead of some matured businesses combined. So LAP and HL disbursement put together, the new business is much ahead of that. So just to understand what could be the peak run rate, or let's say over the next four quarters, if I were to look at it, what is the kind of run rate that you're looking at on this disbursement? And just wanted to understand how the sourcing of these loans are done, how much of it is in-house and how much of it is through the partnerships. Just a bit more color on the new business.
There are three different businesses, each follow different parts of sourcing, and you know, it's a little short time to explain this in detail, but it's a mix of in-house as well as you know, outsourced model. But right now it's very difficult to give a very indicative number also, because we are experiencing these products and we will be looking at various factors to understand how much to scale up and grow in the next 2 to 3 years. So let's go through another year of performance on these products before we look at starting to look at giving committed numbers on.
Sure. And is it fair to assume that large part of these would be in-house, sourced through branches, or large part of this is through the DSAs or the fintech partnerships?
Yeah, see, we have, five business other than the vehicle finance. And in the case of new businesses, what is we are doing e-cell, they have two-thirds coming from the traditional, wherein DSA, DSTs are there, and one-third is coming from the partner with the fintech companies are there. In the case of SDPL, all 100% businesses are coming from their in-house team. In the case of HL, their mix is like 60-40, 60 in-house, 40% is there depending on outside. Loan against property predominantly
65 is outside.
65 is outside and 35 is in-house. This is what is the mix. In the case of vehicle finance, we do everything in-house.
Right.
Thank you. I request you to come back in the queue for follow-up questions. We have a next question from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. A couple of questions. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one is, particularly you have been growing very strongly in your new business, largely consumer SME kind of, unsecured and secured. Now, this is an area which has been seeing a lot of, traction, just not for you, for the your peers, competitors, that retail, unsecured, and SMEs. That is where perhaps the case or argument for the formalization of credit and, democratization of credit that leads to a strong growth. Now, the question here is that, you see this kind of a strong growth momentum in this segment to continue for a longer duration, Or in terms of current growth being abnormal and growth to moderate, and how do you see sort of competitive intensity and sort of a credit cost in this segment going forward?
So in the new business segment, first of all, we are present in only 25 to 30% of the branches of vehicle finance, and we are testing the product as of now. And from the product perspective, our offerings are not being launched as equal to all other shares. So one side we have, you're saying that the market is slowing down or not. As of now, market is not slowing down. Second is that we need to also expand across the country and also expand in terms of geography as the product offering as well. So what we feel that these new businesses, which is driven by, consumer, which is being done by CSEL, and also we are doing the shopkeeper financing by the secured business loan, SBPL division, and SME is also term loan and equipment finance. They are doing it all secured business. This is likely to grow for next 2 to 3 years for the virtual ad. And in addition to that, we have housing finance and LAP. In housing finance, we are doing affordable housing, and affordable housing was concentrated in south. Last year, we started expanding in northeast and west, and we have just gone few branches in the northeast. So we have a lot of other market left out to be covered. During next 2 to 3 years, HL will get expanded to all the branches of vehicle finance. In the case of loan against property, maybe we are present in 55% of the vehicle finance, and where there is scope to further go to those branches. And tier 2, tier 3 towns are doing better with respect to affordable housing and loan against property. So those branches we will slowly expand in next 2 to 3 years.
So one side, there is a growth coming for the industry, and the other side, the growth will come from tapping up the market, which is untapped as
well. And you expect your kind of OPEX and credit cost to remain stable despite sort of a mix changing a bit more away from vehicle towards this new segment?
As of now, OPEX is a little higher because we started investing in new businesses. As we start, you know, stabilizing in these new businesses, ideally OPEX has to come down so that we can leverage on the branches and the people who have been recruited and invested in the technology. As far as the net credit cost is concerned, as of now, net credit cost is almost negligible. So over the period, net credit cost will start coming up. But that gets compensated by OPEX. OPEX reduction will be higher than NCL. As far as the delinquency measurement is concerned, all these new businesses are tightly controlled. So in the new, within 1 year time, it's too early to talk about the delinquency, but it is significantly better than the competition.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on a very good quarter. There are just two things I kind of wanted to understand. You partly addressed some of those questions, but I just wanted to understand these two things better. One is, if we look at our own commentary, we talked about our efforts to bring down cyclicality. But I think, we'll also acknowledge one thing that has helped us in the last couple of years is the very strong vehicle cycle. And it is anyone's guess, I would say, how long this vehicle cycle will last, whether 2 years, 3 years, is anyone's guess. So, I understand you've not put out a vision or a mission statement, but internally, when you look at this franchise, over a 3 year or a 5 year kind of a CAGR, what is the AUM growth that we aspire for internally?
I think the AUM growth generally that we've guided in the range of about 20 to 25%, right? And so that is what we will continue to maintain. In terms of how we will do it, I think, you know, Arul also answered that question where you asked about mix, because we definitely see the mix changing. And vehicle as a percentage of that mix coming down as the other businesses grow. So again, I think Arul have guided that, you know, by FY26, you could see vehicle becoming, you know, like 50% of our overall AUM. And that is a significant shift, right? Because in FY23, it was about 61%. So that just gives you a sense of kind of the growth. A lot of that growth, you know, like you saw, is coming from businesses like housing loans, which is growing, like CCL, like LAP, and the newer businesses, basically, that we've been getting.
Okay, so still one last question, maybe one question for you and one for Arul, sir. So in terms of credit cost, I think Ravi sir was also acknowledging that we understand that the newer businesses that we are building, specifically the three newer businesses, will have higher credit costs maybe going forward. So do you think there is merit given the kind of ROEs that we are making in building some kind of a provisioning buffer for the newer businesses which will come at higher credit costs going forward? And a question for Arul, sir. When we look at this interest rate trajectory, given that now there are fair expectations that there could be a 25 basis point hike, just wanted to understand how are you looking at margins in FY24 now?
So just to clarify, this credit cost of SBPL, CACL and SME, as of now, it is almost at a negligible level. So from there, it will slightly go up. But the reduction in the OPEX will be significant because the OPEX is very high and that will come down. So what will be gained from the OPEX will be much bigger than what cost will go up. And as far as the provision is concerned, in the case of CSEL,
obviously the unsecured lending, the provision is very aggressive, and we are almost making 100% at 180%. So therefore the provision has been kept very high, but as of now the delinquency levels are low. So therefore we don't have any problem, and we are expecting that the ROA from these new businesses will start going up, which will further increase the overall ROA of the company.
With regard to increase in rate, we will have to see what is going to happen, and if that is a sustained increase that is coming, then we will also follow suit of what we did earlier, that in the floating rate book we will have to increase the yields, and in the already in the vehicle finance book we have started increasing yields, and as I was saying in the morning, the mix will progressively change, and that would also give us the benefit of that being able to sustain the NIM. We will wait and watch, and this is something we have to see what is happening on the ground, so because there are differing views on the increase.
And just to add, what the, you know, in terms of yield, if you see that, the last year the new vehicle sale was much higher than the used vehicle because the industry was coming back to normal in terms of vehicle finance. So the disbursement mix of the vehicle finance is skewed towards the new versus used. And in the past, we used to do almost 50-50 high yield versus low yield. But in the last year, that has come down because the new vehicle sales have picked up. So now this year, the vehicle sale will come to the normal level, what it used to be, 10-15%. That will give us bigger opportunity to play in the high yield segment, which is like, you know, two-wheeler, three-wheeler, tractor, and used businesses. And then the yield will go up, and we have seen that in the quarter four we started going up. And if we continue to do this, then we will come back to the normal level of the yield what it used to be.
Thank you so much, sir. This is very, very useful. Congratulations once again, and all the very best to you and your team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to restrict your question to one at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the quarter. Just on CSEL, a couple of questions. So I believe you all said two-thirds is small enterprises, one-third is consumer. Just wanted to understand on the consumer part, you know, do our fintech partners give us FLDG? And on the small enterprises part, you know, how many of these clients already have a loan from a bank or another NBFC?
Wherever it is regulatorily permitted, we follow the route, but otherwise we do not have an FLDG. But that is compensated by, you know, taking higher yield on that. So we work partner by partner, the economics of it, and then work out the pricing model around that. The underwriting guidance is also given by us. So considering both aspects, we control the performance of the good as well as the profitability of the respective partnership.
Profit. And on small enterprises?
Small enterprises is done entirely in-house. And
what was the question on small enterprises?
No, no, I just wanted to understand those clients. These are 18-20 lakh rupee loans. You know, are these clients, you know, have they taken loans from other banks or NBFCs? I just want to understand if they are banked customers or not from a lending point of view.
Yeah.
So our average ticket size in the traditional business in the small enterprise lending is around 8 lakhs.
Yeah, so I don't think you're, I think you're, I don't know where you got the 18 to 20 lakh number from.
Okay, it's misinformed.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So that average ticket size is around 7 to 8 lakhs. So to that extent it is taken care. And, you know, we also have a policy, stringent credit policy wherein, you know, even at the sourcing stage and the credit approval stage, we look at the number of inquiries, number of live loans. We have kept a lot of tight policy measures where, which, you know, weed out all this question. This is, understand your question, but we have taken all the precautions on that side.
No, no.
Business is actually, they are doing a consumer and business loan. So in the they have a two channel. One is a traditional channel and a partnership channel. So two-third traditional channel is doing both business loan and personal loan. And this business loan is given to the self-employed customer and the professional like doctor and engineer. And the personal loan is very low between the personal and business loan. Personal loan is given to the salaried class. So all these traditional businesses, what we do in it, it is similar to what others are doing at DSC, TST, which is 8 to 10 lakh rupees.
No, sorry, I may have miscommunicated. My simple question is that in the small enterprise loan segment, what percentage of customers are new to credit and what percentage already have a loan from another bank or NBFC?
All of them are having a credit history. Without credit history, we don't fund in the CSEL department. See, there are two businesses we are doing it. One business is the SBPL, small business, secure business and personal loan. In the SBPL, there are some customers who are coming first time, coming to the NBFC or the credit. But that is a secured business. So we are actually giving them loan against their shop or their house and giving them a loan up to 5 lakh rupees. That's a small ticket size, 2 to 5 lakh rupees. In the case, and that's a secured business. In the case of CSEL, which is a consumer and a small enterprises loan, we are giving businesses, business loan and personal loan to the self-employed and salaried class people up to 8 lakh rupee ticket size, unsecured, and which is done in a traditional way. And all of these customers have credit history, and we are not funding less than 700.
We have 96% of our customers are with a credit score of more than 700 plus in the business.
And 10%
4% customers are between 675 to 700. Nobody is below 675. And 83% of the customers have a credit score more than 725. This is on personal loan, which is the major book as which we have created as of now.
And rejection rate is 70.
We have a rejection rate of almost 72% in our
CSEL
business.
Thank you. I request you to join back the queue, sir. We have a question from the line of PTRS from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks again. My question is on the home loans business. So we have seen the disbursements in the quarter, for this quarter to be higher than the whole of last year. So could you help us understand what's the long-term strategy here, given intense competition in both prime mortgages and in affordable housing? What is the segment we want to be in as we grow, and what are the kind of ROAs that we will be targeting?
So as we are in affordable segment, and now right now what we have done, we were present in South. So major portfolio was in South. So during the current financial years, we have expanded across geos, and the contribution of these businesses are coming from North, East, Eastern States and West. So right now what we are doing it, we are expanding the footprints to all the vehicle file branches and then addressing their customer need. Going forward, we are going to see numbers doubling up every financial year.
So just to add, actually, as we have done in more in South, the same success we want to replicate in East and West and North. We selected some good market where vehicle finance have done very well in terms of portfolio quality to start with, to see that is getting replicated. In the last year, our experience has been good. So with the good experience, now we are going to go further to the other branches. As I mentioned in the earlier question also, the home loan as of now is covering one third of the country and started covering to rest of the country. So the expansion will be happening over the period. And since we are going to new geography, the disbursement growth will continue.
Okay. And what is the ticket segment that we would operate in and the steady state ROE?
Our average ticket size will be around 15 lakhs. We are operating in that segment. And the self construction will be the plot will be the address segment where we are going to scale our number.
Sorry, and the ROA?
We will have
ROA guidelines is not there. You have seen our number. As we have mentioned that we will continue to maintain our niche and credit cost. And OPEX is something which we want to improve by increasing the productivity and expanding. So therefore, we would like to maintain the ROE where we are.
So just the last question on the same. So would we be keen to pursue an inorganic strategy in this business to build for the scale?
No.
So this is something we will continue to do in-house?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of data keeping questions. Firstly, sir, can you share the absolute loan book in CSEL, SVP and SME as of March 23? And secondly, the interest rate hike that we have taken in our home loan book and the LAP book, home equity book in FY23.
See, we have given the percentage of the new business, and you can work out that maybe you will have only some decimal point differences. I think it's a reachable number for you from the investor presentation what we have given. The second question is on the...
What is the second question? Interest rate hike that we have taken for the existing customers in home loan and LAP book. Home equity book in FY23.
Taken around 200 bps in LAP and around 150 bps in the home loan.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, in terms of the credit cost, if you look at it in terms of the recovery benefit which would have come in from the pain recognized during pandemic, are we almost done with that and now credit costs on an overall book should normalize? And with respect to the new business segments, what is the kind of stage 3 and credit cost which we are looking at once it matures or it seasons out?
Credit cost will, we always said that the credit cost will range between 0.75 to 1.2 over a cycle, and we stick to that, and on an average it should be in the range of 1%, but for events like a pandemic and such widespread and continued impact areas, I think we are back to that levels. I think this is around 0.9, and we should hold around that. And in a good cycle, we should drop it to 0.7, 0.75, and maybe during some stress period, it should go up to 1.2%.
New businesses actually is very early to talk about it, but how the stalwarts are performing in the same space. We would like to basically do better than industry. That is what is aspiration. Let's see that.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Mr. Nalain, you joined Chola by 2010. It was 7,000 crore. We crossed 1 lakh crore now. Very commendable achievement, sir. My question is, you are now a key person from the management group, Murugappa Group, and you are busy with so many other organizations, which is also expanding very highly. So I would like to understand, what is your task for Chola for next 3-5 years? What you want to achieve? What you want to prepare for next 10 years journey? If you can talk a little bit more.
Sunil, thanks for the question. So first is, I have no work at Chola because these guys already know everything to do. And the team is a very strong team. And kind of, the team, like you talked about 2010, the entire team that's sitting here with me is kind of, has been there since that time. And they've actually been instrumental in driving this level of growth for the company. So the good thing with that is it kind of gives me very little work to do. Broadly, what we focus on is just kind of broad direction setting. I think Suresh kind of asked the question earlier, the two big focus areas for us continue to be, what kind of a long-term direction can we set for the company? You asked what's a 10-year view. I'll talk about that in a minute. And the second is, how do we begin to look at technology in quite a different way? because what technology is opening up in India is quite phenomenal. And the implications for a business like us are very significant. So that's an area we continue to invest in very significantly. On the 10-year view, I mean, our view on India is that, you know, we've delivered a certain level of compounding over the past decade. And honestly, you know, the kind of opportunity that's offering itself up in India and the strength and capabilities that Chola has now developed, we see the same opportunities, you know, and that level of compounding being achievable over the next decade as well. So we continue to be very bullish. Some of the steps we've taken in terms of, you know, the diversification into new lines of businesses, there will be other steps that we take in that direction. Some will be technology-led and some will be, you know, growing out, you know, in traditional businesses and become, you know, basically moving from, you know, to like a multi-product view, each of the products of which kind of, you know, can be sustainable for us in the long term. So a combination of those two areas is really where the key focus is at Chola as far as, you know, I'm concerned now. And I do think that, you know, over the next decade, you know, we do see significant opportunity, you know, to maintain kind of a high level of profitable growth. So it's something that here as a team, the entire team, we're all very excited about and will continue to deliver.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pranuj Shah from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on a good set of numbers. Lance, sir, you had earlier alluded to building a robust collection infrastructure before moving into new lines of businesses. Would it be possible to elaborate more on this and what, because I think this is primarily giving you the confidence of sustaining this high growth going ahead. And on that, since I think most of your primary investments would be done, so do we expect OPEX efficiency, what you've seen in the fourth quarter, to continue going ahead too? Thank you.
Yeah, so for the vehicle finance...
So vehicle finance, if you know that we've been discussing about what is the collection strategy and how robust our collection system is that. So first is that, you know, those who understand how we have done collection in vehicle finance should be involved in the new businesses. So we have actually transferred four of our small business head to head businesses, and our loan against property business head is also was an NCM, NASTIC collection manager before that, and he has done the credit also. So all the business heads are from the Chola. For the last 20 years, they are all within the Chola. They understand that how much important we give it to the collection. Then come to the collection strategy, and then collection strategy varies from product to product and the bounce rates of the segment. For example, as of now, in the case of CSEL, the bounce rates are as low as possible, and their job is to ensure that how can they keep the bounce rate at low and then collect it more digitally than physically. And in the case of, you know, affordable housing, they have a entire collection system which is completely, you know, working along with the sales team, working and going and collecting. Before, you know, disbursement, you know, they are also involved in, you know, doing the field investigation of the properties and also ensuring that the collaterals are in place immediately after they're doing the lending, they're going. So different strategies there. Without having the collection platform ready, we don't expand. So firstly, recruit, you know, collection managers in the market and then understand that what they're going to collect. And then we start doing it. And obviously, if you want to understand the entire collection strategy for each business, it will be taking a lot of time. But just to mention that in the secured business loan, which we are giving it to shopkeeper, they are doing the lending collection by their sales team only. But in the case of affordable housing, we have a collection dedicated vertical. And all the collection verticals within the businesses are completely unique and independent to them. And they are working with a different strategy with respect to the product behavior and the market behavior.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congrats on a great quarter. So I just wanted to understand what is the incremental lending rate for vehicle loans, LAP, HL and new business. And you also alluded that we would want to maintain margins at current levels. So what are the levers for the same?
The broad levels for NIM you have indicated, right?
Yeah, 7.5%.
So what are the levers, as in what is it that gives you the comfort or the strategy that...
So the levers by business obviously will change, right? Vehicle is a fixed loan product, right? So, you know, once we've originated there, then kind of that rate sticks, right? So there it's question of kind of, obviously one lever is the business mix, right? So how much do we do of, you know, between used and, right? So we obviously by product segment and by customer segment, we have a pretty good idea of, you know, what is the effective, you know, down to the ROA level itself, we have pretty good data. So even at the NIM level, that's one of the controls we have. Where each of the geographies then have to maintain a particular NIM based on the mix that we would steer them towards. That will force them to moving towards higher yield product, which would mean the used versus new mix, you know, the mini LCV versus LCV versus, you know, two-wheeler versus three-wheeler mix. So each of those mixes are kind of, it's all kind of, I mean, obviously, it's done at a fairly granular level. So each geography, whether it's a zone and a region and area or a branch, understands and the heads at those levels understand what they need to do to maintain the overall NIM, which is how we basically control it at a national level. And that is the example in vehicle finance. And then obviously you've got the mix between businesses themselves, where certain businesses are higher NIM, and therefore we mix. Manage that as well, in order to control the overall level of NIM for the company.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sanket Chheda from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Supreme execution. We are falling short of adjectives to describe your result every quarter. Two questions from my side, sir. One is that the capital burn in this quarter has been relatively lower. So last couple of quarters, we were burning about 50 to 60 bits of Tier 1. This quarter, the burn is just 34 bits. So other than the high profit, is there anything else?
So we use multiple levers to manage our capital adequacy, like securitization is a route where we did the last quarter, and even in this quarter we'll see a large amount of securitization happening. So these are, you know, mechanisms to, you know, ensure that your capital adequacy stays on board. And this is something we work on. Of course, the profitability accretion to the bottom line also helps. So that would be the primary reasons.
Sure. And so another question again on the liability side that we talked about on deposits and maybe overseas lending. But is there any say interaction with rating agencies wherein you can get one notch more of rating upgrade? Because once HDFC moves out, maybe there would be a lot of supply on the NCD side, which being a AAA rated NBFC, one could fetch better pricing. So any light there would be helpful.
No, we are in touch with the rating agencies. Even Ms. Valayan had interacted with all the rating agencies with whom we have relationship over the last two or three quarters. We've been talking to them. I think they have their own set of processes and procedures to stick to. And I presume going by their internal norms, they will keep evaluating and looking at what's good and what should be done. Our work is to keep doing what we are good at, and we will continue to do our best towards that, to keep our names, at targeted levels.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and congrats on a set of numbers. Just a data point, if you can share, what were the write-offs during the quarter and similarly for the full year number?
Can you just give me a minute? Write-off for the quarter would be around
1,890 crores, and for the full year will be around 560 crores. Yeah.
550.
This is on the repo sales, and the write-offs are around 40 crores bad debts and 270 crores as settlements and write-offs. I told the repo sale number.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishin Sawate from Kotak Securities for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you very much to all the participants for coming in such overwhelming numbers. Thank you very much to the management for giving us an opportunity to host a call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.